Having decided on a course of action to establish a new Presbyterian church, the elders that came out of the local Irish Presbyterian church determined that they would inform their fellow Presbyterians of the watershed that had been reached in Crossgar and what this implied for them. They felt the best way to do this would be by an open letter. This letter, known to some as the Free Presbyterian Manifesto, I wonder have you ever heard of that? It was approved by Mr. James Morrison, Mr. William Miscampbell, Mr. Hugh James Adams, Mr. Cecil Harvey, and Mr. George Kirkpatrick Gibson. At a public service held in Crossgar's Mission Hall on the Sabbath evening of 11th of March 1951, a declaration was made regarding their intention to form a new church, and the Free Presbyterian Manifesto was released. The manifesto was then delivered to all members of Lasara's congregation, to the ministers also of the Down Presbytery. Invitations to this inaugural meeting were printed and circulated. So the manifesto, dated 11th of March 1951, reads, "Dear friend and member of Lasara congregation, knowing that you have a keen interest in our glorious Presbyterian and Protestant heritage, we address to you the following appeal. Our Presbyterian forefathers, zealous for the truth of God as contained in the sacred pages of our Protestant Bible, were prepared, regardless of the cost, to stand true to God and to their consciences. That cost was the staining of the heather bells of Scotland with their blood. Shall we, as sons and daughters of such men, dare to be any less true in our day to the same cause? The session of our church loyal to this cause unanimously granted our church hall for the preaching of that message for which our forefathers died. The Presbytery of Down, regardless of the fact that the session represented the people and the congregation wrought and gave of their money to build the hall, closed this, the property of the congregation, to the proclamation of the gospel and suspended two elders who refused to be mere yes-men and to join hands in such an action. This has brought to light the real character of Presbyterianism. Violation. Further, the commission of the vacancy have violated the laws of our church by revising the poll list, which thing they had previously and publicly stated could not be done. On February the 12th last, the writer openly challenged them on this issue in a letter which was read at their meeting on that date, in which was quoted paragraph 333 of the Presbyterian Code, which read as follows. A poll list, after being lodged with the moderator of the presbytery or convener of the vacancy, shall not be altered during the vacancy in the pastorate unless the vacancy extends beyond 12 months, in which case the presbytery shall have a new list of voters prepared in accordance with the preceding rules. In reply to this, the writer received a 6-page letter from the Reverend Matthew Bailey of Downpatrick as convener, in which he said that the writer appeared to be in the gall of bitterness, and continued that this revision was really the result of a muddle between himself and the presbytery, ending by stating that their avowed intention not to yield one inch. It is significant that our clerk of session, Mr. James Morrison, refused to sign the revised poll list against his conscience, and others of the session also refused even to attend the meeting at which it was confirmed. Regardless of all this, they trample on. Facing these facts, we are forced to ask ourselves the question, what is wrong with the so-called Presbyterian Church that she can act in such an unworthy manner? We go to the fountainhead, the Assembly's College, and there we find the answer. Apostasy. Professor Davy, principal, and other of the professors, both in their teaching and writings, deny the truths we hold so dear, reduce the scriptures to the level of mere human writings, make little of our confession of faith and shorter catechism, deny the very deity and virgin birth of our Saviour, and place the Protestant doctrine that Christ bore our sins on the cross on a level with the Roman Catholic doctrine of the Mass. Even the heresy trial of 1927 failed to unseat these heretics, who still have the reins of the college in their hands. To use Professor Davies' own words in Elmwood Presbyterian Church, he said, "Modern scholarship has rescued the church from the powerlessness of a propped-up religion using the Bible as a crutch, and that certain of the Old Testament stories are utterly damnable." Is this not why many of the Christian lads who enter the college with a sincere desire to serve Almighty God are in due course pitchforked into our pulpits, discouraged and bewildered dupes, understanding neither what they teach nor whereof they affirm? The Irish Presbyterian Church took a leading part in the forming of the World Council of Churches, which betrayed the Protestant Reformation by extending a welcoming hand to the Church of Rome. You will be interested to know that the Belfast Presbytery upheld those who invited Unitarian ministers to preach in their pulpits. You say it is the Church of our fathers. It is not the Church of our fathers. They were made of sterner stuff than to tolerate men who betray their trust and who violate their solemn ordination vows. Let us listen to one of these men, the sturdy Presbyterian and saintly Rutherford, who said, "Give not a hair's breadth of truth away, for it is not yours, but God's." Is this any new state of affairs? No. For generations, there has been a growing discontentment with the state of things in our churches, and Christian people today have grave contempt for the dead and stagnant, powerless and fruitless religion of our day, and for the camouflage modernists in our pulpits, who seem to be void of any real convictions, and who read their half-baked essays with half-hearted zeal, and whose daily lives prove many of them to be mere gossip mongers rather than soul winners. Fathers and mothers, these men care not for the never-dying souls of your boys and girls, but rather for financial security, material comforts, and a congregation who are foolish enough to pay for the tobacco they smoke and the worldly pleasures they pursue. Appeal. Fellow Presbyterians, what shall we do? To reform the present church has been the desire and ambition of years, but the Irish Presbyterian Church has proved that she will adopt every measure to see that such will not happen. And clear-thinking Christian people are beginning to realize that the only course to pursue is to save that which is worth saving, and like Sodom and Gomorrah, leave the rest to the flames of God's wrath and judgment. After prayerful consideration, we feel that the real need is the rekindling of the embers which for years have been smouldering under the damping and deadening effects in our church. In this effort, I am proud to say that Cross Guard has raised a leading hand and happy to relate that she is already being joined by other congregations now being formed. These will form what will be known as the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. Free, because it has struggled out from under the heel and tyranny of the church, which sails under the flag of Presbyterianism, but which in reality is Unitarian. Presbyterian, because in constitution, government, and worship, it will be identical with that of our Presbyterian forefathers. We believe that under the wind of heaven, these embers will once again be fanned to a mighty flame all over our beloved province, and that this Free Presbyterian body will lift again the banner of the cross, which has been dragged in the gutter of heresy and modernism. This letter sets out briefly the reasons for our secession from the church which has betrayed us, and the reason for our establishing in Cross Gar a congregation of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, which will, by God's grace, bear on the banner of truth carried aloft for centuries by our Presbyterian forefathers. The Cross Gar congregation of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster is being officially constituted on Saturday, the 17th of March, in the Killyleagh Street Hall, which is being extensively renovated to serve as a temporary worshipping place. 5 members of the Lasara session will be installed as the session of the Free Church. The opening services will be conducted on the Sabbath, 18th of March, at 12 noon and 7 p.m. with a morning Sabbath school at 10:30. The youth organisations will be carried on under the care of the present leaders, and these will be announced at the opening services. This letter comes to you as the first official communication from the Free Church and is approved by the following who will constitute the Kirk Session: James Morrison Clark, William Miscampbell, Hugh J. Adams, Cecil Harvey, George K. Gibson, Yours for Christ and the Truth. Signed, George K. Gibson, Church Secretary.